Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this evening on New Visions Radio. You can catch us here every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's 4 p.m. Pacific, right here on New Visions Radio. Today is Sunday, February the 19th, 2023.
Yes.
And Ed's smiling at me because I remembered to say Eastern Time. So, you know, we always like to, each week, we like to say thanks to Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to be here, because we're amongst a lot of different talent and different independent music people. And I think at this point, we're the only ones that actually open the Bible and do a Bible study right here on the air.
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's just, we're just this little teeny little ministry in Virginia, and for Ray to allow us to be on his radio station, that's great.
Yeah, it's a real blessing. And so thank you, Ray, for all you do for us. And even sometimes when we can't get here in the studio, he runs a program for us. And, you know, that takes time out of his schedule to have to do those things. And we're just grateful for all that he does. But before we get started, we just want to tell you a little bit about this ministry, because each week there are new people that tune in. Tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, Ed.
Well, we're a little ministry in Stanton, Virginia. We have Bible studies on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Mm-hmm. We have a church service on Saturday, or the Sabbath.
Yes.
Bible study at 9:30 and our church service at 11.
Yeah.
And currently there's a Monday night Bible study as well at 7 p.m.
Yes, there is. And that's just a temporary thing, because they're studying a specific topic.
Right.
And there was a small group of people who wanted to hear about that. Now, the interesting thing is, on Wednesday nights, we actually Zoom that meeting.
Yes.
So if you're ever in the Stanton, Virginia area and you want to join us, we're at 1743 West Beverly Street, Stanton, Virginia. But we Zoom it. And if you're interested in attending that Zoom Bible study, send us an email. And how would they get in touch with you, Ed?
It would be ed@prophecyhope.com.
Or you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. If they can't remember our names, we have office@prophecyhope.com. And so, did you have a thought, something you wanted to share? Okay. Ed, sometimes Ed gives me a look like he wants to say something, and I wasn't sure if he was going to say something or not. But also, just we do meet, as Ed said, on the biblical Sabbath. That's the seventh day of the week, according to the Bible.
Right.
And that's why we do that. That was the day that Jesus went to the synagogue, according to the Bible. And all of his disciples did the same. So it's kind of interesting when we talk about those things. Also, you can find on our website, it's www.prophecyhope.com. You will find hundreds of sermons there. And you can go there to the website. You can find sermons. We have old archived newsletters of a few topics that we wrote about. You'll see things that Ed wrote, that I wrote, that Rick wrote. And also, there are some of these radio programs are archived there.
Yeah.
So if there's a topic, you can go into the search on the website and you can type in a specific topic, and it should give you a list of choices you can make of those topics you want to listen to.
Really? I didn't realize you could do that.
Yeah, you can just search, like if you want to search Sons of God,
uh-huh.
You type that in and it'll pull up every sermon and every program about the Sons of God that we've
done. All right, great.
It's really interesting. And right now, as of today, we've been working on the website. We're having a couple of little issues we're trying to work through. And so we're going through some growing pains. And just bear with us, please, while we deal with that, because it can be a little frustrating. Was there anything else we need to discuss, Ed?
I don't think so.
Just something that I will throw out there. In the fall of every year, we do have a Bible prophecy series, and we talk about specific things, and you will find all of those archived on the website as well, and we plan to do that again this coming September in 2023.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that, because we'll be telling you what the topics are, and we may have a guest speaker this year.
Yeah, that would be very special.
That would be very special. We'd love to have that. And I think to get things started, I would like to have Ed open with prayer for us, please.
Okay, let's go ahead and bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, again, we're grateful to be able to come here together and to open your word, the Bible. There is so much truth and so much beauty in your word and in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Father, just open our hearts and minds to understand what the words on the page say, how they impact our lives today, and how we can have hope and peace in this life in spite of everything that's going in the world around So, Father, send us the Spirit of Truth to guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, last week we had just wrapped up the program, and we were just kind of talking a little bit. And we were talking about the cost of being a Christian.
Yes.
And you think, cost? And we got to just shooting the breeze a little bit about there is a Bible text that talks about counting the cost.
Yes.
And let's talk a little bit about that today.
All right.
What do you think?
Sounds good.
Where can we find this Bible text that talks about counting the cost? And let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, do you know how I found that text?
How is that?
I have a computer program that's a Bible program.
Okay.
I put in the word cost. I was pretty sure it was in the book of Luke, so I limited the search to that, and it popped right up. It's in Luke chapter 14,
okay,
starting with verse 25.
All right. So now, that's one thing. Before we start talking about searching, if you are tuned into this program for the first time, you can use Google a lot of times,
yes,
to search for scriptures.
I use it all the time. The reason being, I can't spell. And it understands what I'm trying to search for.
Right.
I use my Bible program, and I spell one word wrong, it won't find it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But so use the tools. And, you know, we might just do a program on that, studying a little bit. But Luke chapter 14, and you said verse 25.
Yes.
You want to begin reading that?
Sure. My Bible has the section 25 through verse 33.
So, okay. Mine does too.
This is the Modern King James, and it starts, "And the great crowds went with him. And he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he may have enough to finish it? Least perhaps after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish. All those seeing begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king going to war against another king does not first sit down and consult whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks condition of peace. So then, every one of you who does not forsake all his possessions, he cannot be my disciple."
Okay, so there's a lot here.
Yes.
There's a lot of information here. And one of the things that comes up a lot here in verse 26, this is Jesus speaking. And in the New King James, it says, "If anyone comes to me," that's comes to Jesus, "and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Hate his father and mother?
What he's talking about, if anyone puts anyone else ahead of that relationship with Christ.
Okay, that makes sense.
Then you can't not be his disciple.
Right.
Jesus and his Father need to be first.
Yes. So, you know, that's so important. And the thing is, when you make the decision that if you say in your heart, you know, I really want to serve God.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to do the will of God and his Son. There's a cost involved.
Right.
And so there's a reason why Jesus starts off with this. If you don't hate your father and mother, he's not saying you have to hate them. But like Ed said, we have to put God first. So that means that if I make the choice that I'm going to do something according to the way God wants, my family might look at that and say, "What are you doing?"
Right. Consider you're married, you have a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to do things that are not according to God's will. Or if you're a wife and have a husband, and a husband wants to do things that aren't according to God's will, there's going to be conflict there.
There is. It's going to be
there's going to be a cost to following God and his Son, Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And the thing is, working through those things, it can be very difficult too. And so this goes for, you know, a lot of times when somebody makes the decision to follow Christ, people don't like that.
Right.
Ed, you know somebody that made that decision, and it cost them greatly because their friends kind of withdrew.
Right.
And that weighed on that person greatly, didn't it?
Yeah. A lady that I study with, mm-hmm. she said her friends came to her. A friend came to her, best friend, held her arms open and said, come back to us. She wanted this person to participate with something that this person no longer wished to do because
right.
it went against the word of God.
It's so interesting to me that when you do make those choices, a lot of times your friends might withdraw from you.
Yeah.
But if they're true friends, they're going to accept you for where you are.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the difference. It separates the true friends from those who are not. So there is a cost involved. Go ahead.
It's not just a family cost that can be involved. It can have effect on your job.
That's right. Oh, absolutely it can. That's very true. It did for me.
It can have an effect on your finances because you choose not to participate in the things of the world.
Right. And, well, for me, I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the program, but when I made the decision that I was going to do God's will and keep his commandments rather than live life according to what I thought was right, I had to make a decision about my business that was not only going to affect my income, mm-hmm. but the income of those people who I was employing. And so this was a great decision. But I'm going to tell you, Ed, I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and I knew that it was the busiest day of the week that I was going to be closing on, which mm-hmm. is a Saturday. I was closing for the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And so what happened was, as a result of doing that, we actually do more now than we ever did in 6 days. We're only open 5 days a week.
Right.
And so there was a cost involved and a risk that I had to take.
You know, we live in the United States. We have a lot of religious freedom currently.
Yeah.
There are other countries where you don't have the freedom to worship God and his son.
Very true.
And there's a cost if you choose to do that. Sometimes it costs someone their life.
That's right. It does.
And this happens today in the world we live in today.
It happens every day in the world.
Yeah.
We don't see it here in this country.
Right.
But there are a lot of missionaries, people that live in other countries, churches that send people out to these
right.
countries, and they get martyred for what they believe.
Right.
They have to count the cost of that.
Yeah.
So I love how Jesus, he doesn't leave anything undone here. He says in verse 27, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What does that mean to you?
In this particular account, this parable, he's saying, if you're not willing to bear that cost
right.
of following Christ, then you're not worthy to be my disciple.
Right. So we know that Jesus had a great price to pay for humanity.
Oh, yeah.
He had to bear that cross. He not only had to carry it for a while, but he was nailed to it.
Right.
And he lost his life. And what he's doing is he's warning the disciples, this could very well happen to you.
Right.
For making this choice. And so counting the cost, this whole theme of this program, this is what we're going to be talking about.
And today, here in the United States, there's religious freedom,
mm-hmm.
per se. Yet, if you start following God's word and you see that the church that you're going to isn't following God's word,
right.
and you try to share that with the people you care about,
yes.
sometimes there's a cost in doing that.
Absolutely.
Say, we don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah, that happens.
You lose your friends, sometimes family members because of that.
I will tell you this. We might always think that counting the cost is only going from not being a Christian
right.
to being a Christian. But you may already be a Christian. You might have a church or a fellowship that you're a part of, that you've been a part of all of your life, and you realize something's not right here. They're not doing things according to God's word.
Right.
And we're not talking about bad people.
Right.
We've just been instructed wrong by the leadership of the mm-hmm. church. So we make the choice according to the Bible to follow Christ, and those friends may pull away from us.
Yes.
We have to think about those things. And we have to be willing to bear that cross, so to speak.
You've experienced that?
I have.
And I've experienced
yeah.
that.
Yeah, many people. And there are people that contact me every week that are going through this process. They're studying their Bible and realizing that, you know, I need to follow Christ and not the world. And so did you have any other thoughts just in these couple of verses? You want to move along?
Well, you know, Jesus uses some simple examples. You're going to build a building.
I love that.
You know, anybody who's wise is going to count how much it's going to cost, what the labor is going to cost, the material is going to cost, and make sure they have enough money in order to be successful in building this.
To finish the project.
Yeah.
Right?
If not, why start?
Exactly. Yeah. So let me ask you, Ed, you've done a lot of woodwork and things. Uh-huh. Have you ever started a project and you say, well, I've calculated it out. I think this is what it's going to cost. Does it always cost you exactly what you thought?
No. It usually, you run into things you don't think about sometimes. You're not, maybe it's a new project, you've never done anything like this before. And time and materials are maybe a little bit more than you expected.
Yeah. So this is a warning. You might think you've got it all figured out.
Yeah.
And think, well, if I do this, this is going to be the result. Many times that's not the case. Yeah. So count the cost.
Let's say if you're building a house, wise people will tell you, count 20, maybe 30% over what you think it's going to cost.
Very true. Yeah. And today, with the cost of materials, it's much more than that even, probably. But so, and really, think about that. We look and say, well, today with the cost of materials, it could be more. The way the world is today, the cost of being a Christian can cost you even more.
Right.
It's just the way of the world. It's how things are going. And so, yeah, it says there in verse 27. Verse 28. This is Luke 14:28. It says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, or we could say a house or any kind of a building, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? So what I hear Jesus saying here is, don't start what you can't finish.
Yes.
And this happens so many times.
Think it through.
That's right.
Many of the problems in the world today occur because people don't think through the consequences of the actions that they take.
Right. That's right. And so I think, you know, when I think about that, thinking it through, I might have mentioned this in the program last week, but I heard a sermon where a pastor mentioned how you should, if you're going to do something, think it through. When he was speaking particularly to young people, but this goes for adults too.
Right.
You know, and this is, you know, in the mind, these thoughts begin that really they're sinful thoughts. A man might have a wife and he works with someone that's an attractive woman and he's kind of attracted to her. He doesn't think it through.
Right.
He doesn't count the cost.
What's the cost?
Not only what it's going to cost him here with his wife, but what's his relationship with God? That's the most important part. What's going to be the consequences of her if she has a relationship with someone? Count the cost. And this is with everything we do, not just moral decisions.
Right.
Right? This advice that Jesus is giving here for Christians can work in every aspect of our life.
Yes.
For everything. If it's buying a house, building a house, taking a job. Ed, you recently went back to work.
Yes.
You had retired and you decided retirement isn't for me.
Well, not full retirement. I'm working a couple of days of work a week right now. It's, for me, it's so fulfilling to be back doing some physical therapy with people in a little bit of a new environment. It just meets a need in my heart.
Right.
So I can't explain it, but it does.
So you thought when you were going to retire initially, you had thought, well, I've counted the cost. I think I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
But you weren't.
Yeah, I'm not. I wasn't, no.
And so before you took this job, you had certain requirements.
Yes.
You were counting the cost and saying, all right, I'm going to plan this out.
Right.
There are certain times that I won't work.
Right.
Right. And there's a certain schedule that I want to be able to work.
And they were more than willing to work with me.
That's
on
great.
That.
That's, yeah. What a blessing.
Yes.
See, and it's because you thought it through.
Yes.
You planned it out. And even today, it's unfortunate. You know, look around the world, friends. Right now, teen pregnancy is at an all-time high. There are TV programs that actually lift up these teen pregnancies and make them look glamorous, which cause other teens to want to have that kind of a lifestyle. Mm. It's horrible. I see ads for this when you're watching a home and garden show, and you see these ads pop on for these teen pregnancy shows, and I'm thinking, what is going on in the world?
You know, there's long-term cost,
yes,
not only to you, but to this child that you've had a part in having been born. What about that child? What about their development? What about their life?
Right.
You have responsibility for that.
Absolutely.
Ongoing. It doesn't end.
It doesn't end. You know, Ed, your boys are, they live in different parts of the country.
Yes.
They have their own careers.
Yeah.
They, one of them has your granddaughter,
yeah,
right? But is there a day that goes by that you're not a parent and don't think about them?
No.
Not one day.
One of my son has COVID right now. You know?
Oh, wow. I didn't
and
know
And so he's getting recovering from that. But, you know, it's not a fun process to
right.
go through that, you know?
But you, while you're not burdened down with worry, you think about them
yeah.
daily. You never stop being a parent.
You pray for them. You Yeah.
Yeah. So this is part of, if you're going to start a family or you're a teenager and you're listening to this program, I can't stress enough to you as a young person, count the cost.
Yes.
There was a young man that worked for me. Well, I'm retired, but I still have a business, and I interact with the folks a lot. And there was a young man, 18 years old, and his girlfriend became pregnant.
Yeah.
And it's flipped his life upside down. He's dealing with it very well, I mm-hmm. have to say. He's asking the right questions. He wants to do the right thing. It looks like he's going to work out. But it completely altered his life.
Right.
For a few minutes of gratification,
right.
he's altered not only his life, but his parents' life, the life of everybody around him. There's another person involved, this mm-hmm. the girl, and then, of course, this child.
Yes.
And now he has to work to support all of this. He didn't count the cost before
right.
he started the project. So this advice that Jesus gives, again, it permeates every aspect of our life.
You know, it's so important to consider this in relationships, whether you considered getting married, you know, having children, you know, where you're going to live, you know, how this affects your relationship with your spouse. You have to consider all these things.
Absolutely, you do. Everything has to be considered. So let's continue through this text. So if you would, read again verses 28 and 29.
All right. Again, this is the modern...
Or through 30, I'm sorry.
Modern King James Version. For starting with verse 28... For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he may have enough to finish it? Least perhaps, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all those seeing begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish.
Yeah, so have you ever had a house in your neighborhood or somewhere and you see that they've started it and months or a year later, its weeds have grown up around it, and it's not quite finished yet.
Where I'm working right now,
mm-hmm.
the neighborhood I'm familiar with. And when I moved here 30 years ago, there was a house in this fully developed development
mm-hmm.
that was not completed.
Okay. It's how many years ago?
30.
30 years ago.
It's
okay.
still not completed.
Today. Really?
It's still boarded up the same way it was 30 years ago when I first came to this area.
Wow. See, so how much was invested in doing what they did?
Right.
Buying the property, getting the permits, putting the place up, getting it started, and now it's just there, right. an empty shell.
The building's there. The windows are, if there's windows there, I don't know. They're boarded up. And
wow.
it's just sad, you know?
You know, it really is. And that's the thing. You can have the thing is, everything isn't short term. You can build a house over a period of years. You can plan it out and say, well, I'm going to do it in sections. I'll build the house, and I'll make plans and have everything laid out. That's part of counting the cost, recognizing your budget. What can you deal with?
Right. You know, you especially deal with people that are discovering the truth of God's Word.
Yes.
And it's exciting at first.
It really
Sometimes
is.
It brings out some confrontation with relatives and people. But those people that stay in that relationship and want to learn more and develop further the relationship with God and His Son realize more costs that are involved as that relationship continues.
Absolutely.
It gets to the point where they have to deal with a lot of conflict with others in their lives. Maybe they have to make decisions in their lives they may have never thought they had to make before.
Oh, sure.
And there's cost involved, not just at first, but continuing cost.
Yes, absolutely. It goes on. There are decisions that I've made in my past. I'll just tell you, one of the things that I used to love to do is before I was a Christian, is I would do street racing.
Yeah.
And I got caught a mm-hmm. couple of times. I lost my driver's license for a period of time. And I didn't, I didn't count the cost. And when I had lost my driver's license, I had actually driven one time. And right down from where we are right now, and we're in the church studio here, mm-hmm. right down here where Straight Street intersects.
Yes.
And then there's a corner where there's that new little Family Dollar right there. That used to be a grocery store. Mm-hmm. And I lived on Straight Street, and I came down that street, and I made a right, and I was sitting at the stoplight, and there was a police officer behind me. I didn't have a driver's license. And I thought, well, let me turn into the parking lot.
Yeah.
He followed me.
Yeah.
My heart was pounding
yeah.
because I knew I didn't have a driver's license.
Right.
And, it worked out that he actually asked me for my license, and I told him, I said, I don't have it.
Uh-huh.
I was actually heading to the athletic club. I was going to do a workout downtown. Uh-huh. And he says, well, give me your social. So I gave it to him. And I walked into the store like I was going to buy something. I had no money. All I had was my ID on me for the health club. And as I walked back out, I thought, I've got to go out. He took off, and I never saw him again. But you know what? I never drove again after that until I got my license back. But as far as counting the cost, that could have. I don't know what he did. I don't know if he got distracted. But that could have cost me. I could have been put in jail for driving without a license. And it did cost me because my insurance premiums were tremendous for having drag race on the highway, for having lost my license, and then I was on some kind of a risk program. I've never gotten a DUI because I never drank, but I was just a hot rodder. I had a lead foot. I still kind of have a lead foot.
Right.
But
so let's say I now have a relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's changing my life. He's working in me, changing my life.
Yes.
And my friends come to me and say, hey, Ed, let's go out and drinking.
Wow.
Or let's go out and do some drugs.
Right.
The appeal is there. These are my, quote, friends.
Right. They're people you know.
Yeah. And I need to count the cost of doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
Do I follow Christ? Do I give this stuff up? You know, in verse 33 it says, If any one of you who does not forsake all his possessions, he cannot be my disciple.
Right.
You know, we think of possessions as things, but things that are valuable to us are friendships or our family. Who do I follow?
Right.
And there's a cost of saying, no, these people aren't going to be my friends anymore.
If they're truly your friends, they will be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. You know, I thought I had friends when I made the decision to follow Christ fully,
mm-hmm.
and I lost a lot of my church friends even.
Yeah.
But there are some who kept in touch with me, and we're still friends to this day. And that's the thing. It's worth it. It has been worth it. It's difficult, particularly at first.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard. And peer pressure, fortunately, peer pressure is something that I never really gave into, but it's so easy to get wrapped up, to want to please your friends, because they're right there. You can see them. Christ is in the heavens.
Yeah.
So it takes a measure of faith.
Faith, yes.
We have to have faith. And we have to, go ahead.
What is faith?
Hebrews tells us what faith is in Hebrews chapter 11. And here, I'll just read it. I think I can find it really quick. Hebrews chapter 11, it's called the faith chapter. Verse 1, here's what it says. Now, faith... This is the definition, according to the Bible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
So faith is belief in something that I want in my life.
Right.
believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he can live in my heart and work within me.
We talked about that last week.
But there's no visible evidence that that can occur.
Right. Well, the visible evidence, it happens after you have the faith, which is the change that happens with you. But we have to, first we must have faith in order to experience that change. Would you agree with that?
Right, yeah. Let's look at Abraham
and
Sarah. He was promised by God that through his seed there would be multitudes of people at the sands of the sea, his heritage, his offspring.
That's right.
And yet he was, what? Sarah was 90 years old, and they still haven't had a son?
Yeah, that what a test of faith that is.
Yet they believed God.
They did. They stepped out of that arrangement for a moment.
Yes, they did.
But Abraham regained his faith.
Yes. You know,
look, all of us are going to waver at some point in our faith. I don't know of anyone who has had faith and just said, I've never messed up.
Right.
I only know of one, that's Jesus, right?
Right.
But we have all come to a point in our faith where we feel a weakness.
Yeah.
Jesus had a point where he was feeling the weakness of his humanity.
Yes.
When he said, Father, what did he say?
If it be thy will, take this cup. If it's possible, take this cup from me, but not my will be done, but your will be done.
That is faith.
Yes.
He put his trust not in himself,
right,
but in his Father.
And in order to do that, you have to know somebody. You have to have a deep relationship with someone. It can't be superficial.
That's right. If somebody opens up a bank on the street corner and they just call it Trust Bank, and you've never heard of it, and you just see that it's there, you want to hear about the reputation of that bank before you're going to put your money in it.
Maybe go and talk to the manager, find out about them, develop a relationship with them.
That's how we can get faith in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Talk to him, get to know him, develop a relationship with him, right? With him and his Father. And we do that through a study of God's Word.
And through prayer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, it's faith is something that it's not always easy, and that's why Jesus is telling us, count the cost.
So, let's say I want to learn about Christ. I want to learn about the gospel story. I want to know who his Father is.
Yes.
Do I just trust anybody? Let's say there's a church here, there's a church there, and a church over here. I like how this preacher preaches, but this other one's a little bit boring. You know, is that how I make my decisions about who to believe, who to learn about the gospel from?
I think that we need to first and foremost pray.
Okay.
And pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And ask God to give you wisdom, right?
Yes.
Discernment, understanding. You can ask him to give you faith. And to help you to understand his word, I think if you don't have a Bible, you can check them out at the library.
Mm-hmm.
You can find them online free of charge.
Email us. We'll give you a Bible.
Yes, we will. I'm shipping some out today.
Yes.
So if you don't have a Bible, get a Bible and start to read it. Where would you recommend, Ed, as far as just starting to read?
I would recommend starting in one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. My favorite Gospel, my personal favorite, is the book of John.
Yes. So we're actually doing a study of John every Sabbath morning, and we're doing that also on Wednesday nights. And it's kind of funny because we've been there for so long.
Yeah. And there's so much there,
It is. In fact, there's a series of, if you go back to our website, prophecyhope.com, there's a series where we do a chapter by chapter on this program. We did a chapter by chapter, just brief overview, and it's a series chapter a week, and we did every chapter of John, and it's really, Rick and I did that together.
Right. We also, the same person, the disciple John, the apostle John that wrote the book of John, wrote the book of 1 John, which we did a radio program.
That's right.
Yeah.
First, second, and third John, and he also wrote the book of Revelation.
Yes.
So, you know, and so many people want to jump right to Revelation, but I would follow the advice that Ed's giving you is start in one of the either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and just read it through prayerfully.
Right.
And if you're trying to find a church, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to do. And maybe one day we'll talk about this a little bit. There are certain things, if I'm looking for a place of worship, that they must adhere to that's in the Bible. It should be everything in the Bible.
Right.
But unfortunately, a lot of times traditions of men creep in.
Right.
And Jesus warns about that too. So all of this is part of counting the cost.
Yes, counting the cost of how a church or a pastor can lead you away from God's Word,
yes,
versus into God's Word. You know, there's a text in the Bible in Acts 17 that talks about a certain group of people, the Bereans,
that's
who
right.
are more noble than those at Thessalonica.
That's it.
Because they opened the Word daily to see if the things that Paul was saying were actually what the Bible said, Scripture said.
So Paul, to me, when I read the Bible, Paul is better than any minister I could listen to today.
Yeah.
He was inspired of God. And even though he was this great apostle, they would go back to God's Word to make sure. And that's what you have to do. When we say it on this program, don't just believe it because we sound convincing.
Yes.
Isn't that right, Ed?
Mm-hmm.
What should they do?
Look into God's Word. Look at the verses we're saying. Do they actually say what we say they say? Look them at it in context.
That's
look
right.
at the whole of the Bible on whatever subject it is.
That's right.
It takes time and it takes prayer. You know, I personally pray for God's guidance when I open God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
Give me wisdom and understanding, that promise in James chapter 1. The promise of Christ in John 16, I'll send you the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth.
Right.
I pray those prayers. Claim those promises.
Yes. And all of this, it goes right back to counting the cost. You know, I think about the prayer that you said, Ed. You and I, at some point in our life, had to make a decision. You know, I was very attached to the church that I grew up in, as you were very attached to
yes.
the church. We grew up in different belief structures.
Right.
But at the same time, there were people that you loved there,
mm-hmm.
people that you've known all of your life pretty much.
People that influenced my religious walk.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that they're bad folks.
Right.
They have a relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
But each one has to come to there's always this pivotal point, and it might be more than once
yeah.
that you have to sit down
yes.
and say, wow, I've got another major decision to make.
Yeah.
You know, and that's happened to me a number of times.
To me, it came down to I began studying God's Word to simply see what it said.
Yeah.
Not to prove anybody right, not to prove anybody wrong, not to prove any belief, but simply just find out what the Word of God said.
Mm.
And when I discovered that it said something different than what my church said it said,
right,
it was time to make a choice. Do I believe that God answered my prayer when I prayed those prayers to understand what His Word said?
In comes the faith, right?
Yes. And so I had to make a choice. Do I follow what God's Word says? Do I read the words on the page? Or do I follow what my church says?
Yeah, it's following God's Word versus the traditions yeah. of men.
And then you experience cost in making that decision.
So let me ask you a personal question, Ed. It's regarding that cost, was it worth it?
Yes, because I have a hope for my life that I didn't have before because I didn't understand the full gospel of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Now, you know what I mean by saying
yes.
that. People listening may not understand that. It's a lot of Bible study to understand that.
It is.
But,
you know, I guess if you were to put it in a nutshell, go ahead.
Put it in a nutshell is Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah. And you went from understanding, while you may not have believed fully some of the things your church was teaching, you had grasped a lot of these things already,
right?
Because you had been studying your Bible,
right?
But once it came to that point and you had a decision to make, now the church is going to start looking at you in a funny way.
Yes, and they were doing that before that because I was associated with you. Being serious, being honest.
It's true.
And I didn't understand why. And since you and I have known each other, our beliefs about what God's Word says has changed tremendously.
For both of us.
For both of us. And that the church had some reasonable concerns.
Sure.
Because you believe something different than than what you believe now.
And it was something different than what my church taught.
Right.
And your church and my church taught different things about the same topic.
Right.
And we found that the truth was somewhere in the middle.
Right. Yeah. And so it was a growing experience, you know?
Yeah.
But you have to make that choice. And it's not always easy.
It's not always easy. And the consequences sometimes, as we said, they're long term.
Yes.
In this case, counting the cost and following Christ is an eternal change.
Yes.
It's not just temporary.
Right.
That's as long term as it gets, isn't it?
Yeah.
An eternal change. And there's you cannot put a value on what it costs.
No.
Because really, the value received for the cost, the value far outweighs that little bit of cost that I had for that temporary moment.
There's a scripture, and I don't know if I can find it offhand. Jesus talks about losing your mother, your father, your sister, your brother.
Yes, I can find that.
But in exchange for that, you'll gain many more brothers and sisters, fathers, through a relationship with those that want to follow Christ, that want to follow God's word.
So, you know, this is the Bible, Ed. Did I interrupt you?
No.
This is the Bible. You see how torn and tattered this is.
Your TNT Bible.
My TNT Bible, torn and tattered, but I also like to call it tried and true. Yeah. So, and it really is. And this very verse, the reason I know where it is, Ed, is because what you just said, I was struggling, and I was still in the church of my youth that I'd grown up in. I knew it all of my life. My dad was considered a pastor there. Mm-hmm. I had pastored there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this was a huge decision. And one night, there was a period of years that I couldn't sleep. And it was because I think God and his son were wrestling with me.
Yeah.
And you know, and I didn't want to give in. Mm-hmm. I was selfish. I liked things the way they were.
You like to be comfortable.
I do. And I really didn't want to spend anything, right? I didn't want it to cost me anything. Yeah. So I had been praying about this, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I opened this very Bible, and it plopped open to that verse. Now, I don't recommend studying the Bible like this. I just want to say that. But I sat up. It was 2-something in the morning, and my Bible popped open right here to Mark chapter 10. And this is the account where Jesus had talked about, he was talking to his disciples, and he was talking about how hard it was for someone that had riches to enter the kingdom of God. And he says, talks about the eye of a needle, a camel, you know, going through. And I'm just kind of setting it up. And then verse 26, it says, "And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? So it seemed impossible. Right. Go ahead.
He was talking about the rich people. And the rich people in Jesus' time were the religious leaders.
Right. That's right.
They were, and if they can't be saved, who then can be saved?
Who can? Yeah. So Jesus said, looked at them, it says in verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but with God, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you."
Mm-hmm.
So, and they did.
Yes.
So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions," he puts that in there, "and in the age to come, eternal life."
Yes.
So, when you're counting the cost, he's talking about that there too.
Yes.
You're going to lose these people, very likely. But if you do, what you gain will far outweigh what you have lost.
How many people have we come into contact with because we're now teaching and preaching what we find the Word of God saying that we wouldn't have had contact with
dozens
before?
Dozens and dozens.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of people. And it's amazing how when people see what the Word of God says rather than not what we're teaching, it's what the Bible's teaching. We're just reading the Bible, just like we did a moment ago. Mm-hmm. And when they see that, it's so refreshing because the requirements aren't coming from prophecies of hope.
Right.
The requirements are coming from God's Word. The counsel is coming from God's
right.
Word. Everything's coming from there.
Yeah.
So then that's the thing about this particular ministry. There's no membership here. Where's our membership, Ed?
In heaven.
It's in heaven. It's not held with men or with a church or a denomination. But unfortunately, today, that's the way a lot of us have been taught.
We desire no control over people, what people believe. We just simply want to show people what we have found the Word of God to say.
That's it. And that's what fellowship and ministry is all about.
Right.
Each individual should bring to the table, this is what this says. Well, let's compare it with the Bible. Let's be a Berean.
Yes.
And let's make sure that what you're saying is true.
Right.
Do the same with what we're saying. Don't believe it because we say it. So just a couple of other thoughts. You know, as I pondered some of this, you know, counting the cost, Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, I know you can pull that up really quick, Ed.
6:24?
Yeah. What does he say there, Matthew 6:24?
It says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This is talking about laying up treasure in heaven.
Yeah.
The treasure that you lay up in heaven are those people you come in contact with that you can affect their lives.
That's right.
It's not silver or gold or material possessions.
That's right.
It's something that will have an everlasting consequence.
Yep, eternal.
Yes.
This is something eternal. That was in the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes.
You just read that from the Sermon on the Mount. Now, there's another text that comes to mind, and that's 1 John. You were just talking about 1 John, chapter 2. And if you could read verses 15 through 17, this has a profound effect on my life.
First, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. This is the modern King James. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever.
Isn't that a beautiful text?
You know, the will of God. Jesus came to do the will of his Father.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And how do we feel about that? Are we willing to do the will of the Father?
You know, once you realize and understand that God's will in our lives is for our best interest, is
Amen.
In our best interest. It's for our betterment. It's to, you know, for the long term, to give us eternal life.
Right. That's right. And that's why he sent his son, because Adam and Eve lost that in the garden. So he had to provide something that would allow us to get back to what they lost.
You know, we've been talking about counting the cost.
Yes.
And we're really just talking about the cost in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need to talk about the reward.
Oh, wow, the reward is tremendous, isn't it?
It's a relationship with the Father and his Son. Now, today, as we speak, to have Christ in your heart, and he brings in the Spirit of his Father into our hearts and minds as well. But there's an eternal reward.
That's right.
No more death, no more sorrow, no more pain.
Yeah, that's what we're told, and we're told that in several places in the Bible. In fact, let's just take a look. Let's go back. We'll go back to the Old Testament, and just to show you that this is not a new idea, Psalm 37, and I really love this psalm. It's so beautiful. And it says here, and this might sound different to some of you. You might think, well, that's a little different. But Psalm 37, verse 9 says, I'll tell you what, Ed, if you would read verse 9.
Oh, I'm in Revelation.
Oh, you stay there. I'll just read this. It says, for evildoers shall be cut off. This is Psalm 37, 9. But those who wait on the Lord, that's actually on Yahweh or Jehovah, they shall inherit, it says, the earth.
Uh-huh.
And the next verse says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more, but the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So remember, Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Now, that doesn't mean we don't see the heavenly courts.
Right.
We will see that. But the ultimate reality is that we will spend eternity on the earth with the Father and His Son.
Yes. Can I give you a verse about that?
Please.
Revelation chapter 21. I want to read verses 1 through 4.
Okay.
Again, this is the modern King James, starting in verse 1 of Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea no longer is. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Mm. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying out, neither will be there any more pain, for the first things pass away. Think about the day we're living in right now, mid-February 2023.
Right.
There's been this traumatic earthquake in Turkey and Syria.
Yeah,
this morning I read there's 37,000 people at least that have died so far.
Yeah.
Think about the pain, suffering, mourning.
Yeah, that's horrible.
God wishes to do away with all this.
Absolutely.
And it will happen eventually.
It's going to happen.
And if you want to be part of it, take time to know God and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Take time to have them, let them direct your lives.
Yes. You know, and these promises, Ed, are throughout the Bible.
Yes.
And it starts in Genesis chapter 3.
Yes.
That's where it actually starts. God makes this provision to reverse what was lost.
Yes.
And so that's a beautiful thing you said, Ed. Take time to get to know the Father and His Son, because the only way that we can get this is actually through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
We have to know Jesus. In fact, let's just turn to John chapter 14 just for a moment.
Verse 6.
Yes, we only have a few moments left. We've got a few more minutes here. And do you have that, Ed? John 14:6?
Do
you want to give us some context there?
Sure. The Last Supper has happened in the chapter before this. And Jesus tells them, I'm going to be going away, and where you're going, you can't be with me. Remember, the disciples had given up everything to be with Christ.
Right.
So in verse 14, he starts out, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Yeah, that's verse 2, is where verse 1 and 2, yeah.
And I'm going to come back and receive you to myself, that where I am, you can be with me also. And Jesus, Thomas says to him in verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you go, and how can we know the way? In verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.
Mm. So what does that mean to you, Ed, when you read this text and it says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, speaking of himself? How does this help you to draw closer to God in your mind?
Because it is through Christ that we have interaction with God, His Father. Jesus is our mediator.
Amen.
There's only one that can mediate between God and man. That's Christ Jesus.
That's in 2 Timothy, isn't it? Is that
2 Timothy 2,
verse 5. Okay.
Jesus is the truth.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
In John 17, Jesus says, sanctify them with thy word. Thy word is truth. Jesus only speaks the words that his Father gave him to speak. He came to share the character of his Father with us.
Right.
And so Jesus only speaks the words that his Father gave him to speak. The life is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we have life.
Amen.
The promise of eternal life. Romans 5 tells us that through his death we are reconciled to God, but we're saved by his life.
That's
his life that he now wants to live within us.
Yes. So while we're here right now, there may be a cost involved.
Yes.
We have to count the cost.
Yes.
It may cost us our friendships.
Yes.
It could potentially cost us even our job.
Yes.
Right?
It could cost us our life.
It can cost us our life ultimately. But it doesn't, according to what we read, that God will make that up to us.
Yes.
A hundredfold.
Yes.
And, you know, if you want to see this of a faithful man, if you read in Job,
yes,
where he lost everything pretty much. All he had left was his wife. I mean, his everything seemed to be taken. His children were gone, and he lost it all.
All his riches, yeah.
And then at the end of Job, because he remained faithful, it was restored. Everything came back to him, double what he had before. And he was a very wealthy man. So some great lessons here. Did you have a thought, Ed?
Well, I was going to say you shouldn't say just his wife was left. But.
No, I was. You're right.
I hear things funny. So
I saw you look at me when I said just his wife. That was the only thing left. I didn't mean it that way. So forgive me for that. But you can tell we like to joke around some. But you know, this is the thing. These texts, these things that we're talking about, counting the cost. You know, we might sound this down a little more in weeks to come.
Yeah.
Because there's so much here that we can talk about. And I hope that you take time, friends, to open your Bible and read these texts and see these things. And we're just about out of time. Ed, did you have any closing comments? Anything you wanted to just share with the friends about counting the cost? And
I think, you know, if you're concerned about counting the cost, you can see what the eventual results are by reading God's Word. You know, this verses I read in Revelation. Mm. There's going to be something better.
Yes.
We may have to go through a time of refinement.
It's temporary, though.
Yeah, it's temporary.
Yeah, it is. So thank you for that, Ed. Friends, I'm sorry we're out of time, so we're going to have to close with prayer. And let's do that, and we'll just have a few remarks right at the end, okay? Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for your word, the Bible, and this time that we could carve out of this evening to come together and open your word and come to know you and your son better. Please help us, Father, to consider the cost, but to be willing to make the investment, because we know that the results are eternal. And we just pray that you will draw us closer to you and your son. And Father, please be with us until we come together again. We're grateful for every gift you give us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, maybe we can talk about maybe next week the things we can experience right now.
Yes.
The peace that we can have through Christ.
Let's do that.
The hope that we can have through Christ.
Let's do that next week. So, friends, I hope you tune in again next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time here on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.